We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
My name is Douglas. I'm an accountant for a large tech company in Seattle. My climbing group consisted of Lenny, a high school friend of mine, Brandon, a painter, and Kelly, a botanist that does research at the State University. There's a mountain in Washington State that my climbing group and I have wanted to climb for a while. I won't say the mountain, so you guys won't go to test my story. But if you figure it out, please, don't do what we did. A bunch of us conveniently had our vacation time line up and we were all itching to climb this mountain together. We usually go climbing at least twice a year, recently climbing Kilimanjaro as one of our biggest expeditions to date. We haven't been able to climb together for a while, so we looked up if the mountain was open. It was closed for another 3 weeks, which was odd considering the weather was perfect. Light snowfall, dry switchbacks, and not too much wind at the peak. Since this mountain was so close to where we all lived, and we never summited it together as a group, we decided to risk it. If we drove out and got turned around, it wouldn't be a big deal. We'd probably have dinner together at a local all-you-can-eat buffet or find a smaller peak to hike up. We all climbed this mountain before by ourselves, so we're all very familiar with the terrain and trails. We were confident we could do it safely on our own, so we got our gear together, pulled into Lenny's car, and drove to the base of the mountain. A little over an hour later, we reached the steel gate, the kind that swings in and out over the road with spikes on the front to mess up any cars that tried to drive through. "Ah, the park's locked up. Guess we gotta turn around," Kelly said. I noticed that there was a chain around the swinging gate, but no lock. I told the group to wait for me, and I hopped out of the car. I ran over to the chain, holding the gate closed, and removed the stick holding the chain in place, and swung the gate open. The car rolled through, and I replaced the chain, stick, and hopped back in. "That's weird. Why wouldn't they lock it?" Brandon asked. We all shrugged, but we returned to normal conversation, just pleased that we made it through. For the next half hour, we drove up winding and washboarded roads, stopping to pee and take pictures here and there. We rounded the last corner before the parking lot. Lenny noticed it first. "Guys, look, someone is in the info booth." We all squinted to look through the dusty windshield, and we all made out the same picture. A park ranger, on the skinny side, was happily tapping a beat out on his clipboard and smiling at us. You know when you get caught walking through the halls at school by the teacher whose class you're skipping? You don't know what to say, as almost anything that leaves your mouth will just make the situation worse. That's how we felt. Lenny, somewhat used to that feeling, from high school nonetheless, spoke up when we reached the booth. "Hey," he said, cheerfully, to mask his worry. "Hey guys, heading up the mountain today?" the ranger asked. Lenny paused for a second. "Yep, as long as it isn't closed. We saw somewhere that it might be closed. Is that true?" Lenny said. "If it's closed, I shouldn't be out here," the ranger laughed. "They better pay me overtime if that's the case." The car faked a laugh. Our eyes darted nervously at each other. Was the mountain actually open? Seems pretty empty up here. Where is everyone? Lenny asked, gesturing toward the absence of cars in the parking lot. Dunno, quiet season, I guess. More mountain for us, he said, winking. Might go up myself today, if I get the chance. I just love the mountain. It's beautiful this time of year. Maybe we'll see you on the trail, Brandon yelled out from the back. Hope so, the ranger said. Let me just take your names down. How long do you plan on staying? Just a day hike or overnight? He asked. Overnight, snow camping hopefully, I said. That's Kelly and Brandon in the back, Lenny driving, and me, Douglas. The ranger scribbled our info down on his clipboard and slammed it on the table when he finished. Great. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the mountain, he called out. We nodded and politely drove into the parking spot. No one really said anything, but we were all thinking the same thing. Nothing about that conversation felt normal, or safe, or comfortable, and everything about it just felt off. I guess we were just happy that we didn't get kicked off the mountain. Lenny brought up the ranger around 10 minutes into our hike, but that conversation quickly died down. The first hour of the hike were normal, and we sort of forgot about the weird parking lot encounter. About halfway up the switchback portion of the mountain, before the glacier-covered peaks, Kelly started feeling sick. We chalked it up to altitude sickness, but found it weird that a seasoned climber like her would feel sick this low. We weren't high up at all. She insisted we keep going. We made it this far already, and don't let me spoil your fun, she said. We camped lower on the mountain than we had hoped to let Kelly rest. She was pretty pale and needed to take breaks more frequently than usual, so we set up camp right on the edge of the snow. Lenny stayed with Kelly, while Brandon and I took our day bags and walked up the glacier to sightsee with our binoculars. From our elevated position, we could see most of the surrounding landscape. Rolling hills at the foot of the mountain, raging glacier runoff, and a sea of trees that stretched beyond the horizon. Sadly, we didn't spot any wildlife, but we had a laugh making David Attenborough-esque jokes while observing Kelly and Lenny mope around camp. The wind died down just enough for Brandon and I to hear a strange clicking noise coming from behind us up the face of the mountain. It sounded similar to river rocks bouncing off each other, but it had a strange tempo to it. I looked at the source of the sound and saw someone sort of thrashing around on a patch of exposed gravel and rocks. His movement was sort of rhythmic, but still erratic, like a robot copying dance moves. He slowly turned towards us, and once he was totally facing Brandon and I, we could see that he was the park ranger we saw earlier. Brandon and I watched in curiosity and horror as the park ranger jerked and twisted, kicking rocks and jumping up and down. He noticed us and stopped dancing immediately and waved. He motioned us to come up to him with a big smile on his face. Against every instinct, every gut feeling, Brandon and I could not help but join him on his patch of rocks. It was like we were on an escalator, the way our legs effortlessly carried us up the mountain. Beautiful up here, isn't it? The ranger asked. He had his hands on his hips and his chest puffed out in a sort of exaggerated parody of a proud parent. Oh, for sure, Brandon said. I could tell he was locked in the same sort of trance I was in. I wanted to scream at him to run, yell down at the others to call for help. But I was frozen. Yeah, I love it out here. Beautiful time of year, I heard myself say. It was like someone was using my mouth to speak. I had no control over what I said. The ranger took a deep breath, but it looked wrong the way he did it. His shoulders just sort of shrugged, and he arched his back unnaturally, like he was imitating someone breathing. It didn't occur to me at the time, but I only ever saw him inhale, besides when he spoke. His chest would just collapse, but no air would escape. I tried with everything I had in me to pick up my legs and run, but it was as if I stepped in concrete. I could barely wiggle, like I only had 1 millimeter of space around my body to move. Glad you guys could join me up here for a bit. I love company. Job gets lonely sometimes, he said. With his last sentence, he kicked a pebble down the mountain like a disappointed child. We all stood in silence for what felt like 20 minutes before I squealed out the only sentence I could manage to say. Who are you? Brandon's eyes shot towards mine as if I did something horribly wrong. If he looked scared before, now he looked mortified. How about this weather? They should open the park earlier. Folks miss out on a good 3 weeks of clear skies, the ranger said. That it did. I broke free. I nearly tackled Brandon over trying to drag his stiff body away from the ranger. We tumbled a few meters down the glacier in a tangled mess. Going so soon? Stay here for a bit. Take in the view, the ranger called out, cupping his hands in front of his mouth. Still unable to speak, I pulled as hard as I could against Brandon's locked-up frame. He too soon broke free and joined me in running haphazardly down the glacier in silence. The ranger didn't follow us, but kept inviting us back to his spot. I honestly don't remember what he was yelling, and with every step I took, it got harder and harder to breathe. A strange pressure was building up in my head, and my vision was slowly tunneling. By the time we reached our camp, I was almost completely blind, save for a drinking straw-sized circle of vision. I barreled into the tent's nylon wall and screamed with everything I could at Lenny and Kelly. We have to go, now. What's going on? Lenny yelled from inside the tent. I tore the door open and saw Lenny bent over Kelly's pale and unconscious body. She's in real bad shape, started mumbling, then fell asleep. She's super cold, like dead cold. What happened to you? Lenny said. He looked us up and down, grimacing as if we'd been in a brutal car crash. That ranger, he's here. Something's wrong, but we need to go, I said. And leave her? Lenny said. I feel like moving her would kill her. We need to call for help. I looked back to the patch of rocks, but the ranger wasn't there. I scanned the rest of the mountain face and found no trace of him. Maybe we can get an airlift, I said. Where's your satellite phone? My bag, in my tent, he said, pointing to the blue tent a bit higher up the mountain, pitched in a flat patch of gravel. I ran as fast as I could towards the door facing us. It was only when I got within 10 feet of it that I noticed a face pressed hard against the door facing me from inside the tent. The ranger. Its mouth open and eyes were pressed hard against the nylon surface. I quietly unhooked my ice axe from my belt and tiptoed towards the tent before swinging as hard as I could into its face. It felt like I hit a block of ice, the way it just shattered and splintered all over the inside of the tent. A horrible, grotesque scream followed. It made my eyes water and my chest shake. It was so high-pitched, I could feel my bones vibrate. Whatever was in the tent began savagely ripping at the walls, thrashing and kicking like a trapped animal. It was clawing at the door, trying to find the zipper. I ran, screaming for my friends to run and follow me. We left our tents, gear, and Kelly behind as we scrambled down the mountain as fast as possible. We spent more time tumbling down the face of the mountain than on our feet, but it didn't matter. We reached the parking lot, covered in deep gouges from falling on rocks and roots. Lenny started the car and slammed on the accelerator. We took corners at impossibly fast speeds, slamming into the jagged sides of the mountain, carved away to make the road. We even crashed through the gate at the bottom of the hill, which ruined our radiator and sprayed coolant all over the inside of the car. We drove into town, our car scratched and smoking, and pulled into a parking lot where we threw up and cried. In the hospital, we told the police we lost control on a back road and that Kelly was with us the whole time. The police searched the mountain and found nothing. No gear, no tents, no Kelly. Just footprints all over the surface of the glacier. Despite all of this, the park and mountain opened up 3 weeks later, on schedule, without issue. I stopped reading updates about the mountain staff when I learned that a new employee, named Kelly, joined as the newest member of the park rangers that year. It said she was a botanist and wanted to study the flora of the park. Lenny and I never spoke to each other after we left the hospital. And last I heard of Brandon, he quit his job and moved back with his parents in Florida. I still work for the same company. It's been almost a year since this happened, and I have time off coming up again. I feel drawn to that mountain still. It's not open for a couple of weeks, but I know it's not locked, and I know I'll be allowed in. And anyway, I have a conversation to finish with a particular ranger.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.